Hi, this is DeBert Cook, publisher of the African American Golfer's Digest and a proud sponsor of 6 Weeks to Fitness podcast. Get your free digital copy today by going online to AfricanAmericanGolfersDigest.com and click free digital.
Hi, I'm Vince Ferguson, president of Body Scope of New York. Welcome to 6 Weeks to Fitness, episode number 19, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, if you know of anyone in need of personal training, group fitness instruction, or nutrition counseling, please contact me at vince@6weeks.com or call 718-346-5852. Now, in this episode, I will be joined by actress, comedian, author, and TV personality, Kim Coles. Kim will share some amazing stories about her career, healthy lifestyle challenges, and her upcoming one-woman show on Bounce TV, which will air on Wednesday, November 12th. Kim also reveals why she launched a program called Open the Gifts. You don't want to miss this very exciting episode. Now, remember the words of Thomas Edison, who said, "Our greatest weakness lies in giving up. The most certain way to succeed is always to try just one more time." And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks to Fitness. She began her journey to Hollywood when she was announced the runner-up in the Big Beautiful Woman pageant in Atlantic City, New Jersey. She was able to turn her beauty pageant success into a modeling career. She's been called Dr. Mary, Dolores, Bonkisha, and most lovingly, Sinclair. She's an actress, comedian, author, and she's a native New Yorker straight out of Brooklyn. She's the one and only Kim Coles. Kim, how are you today?
I'm fine. It's so funny. I'm trying to figure out who Dolores is. Who was Dolores?
Oh, wait, don't you remember Dolores?
No, I don't remember who Dolores was. Oh, God, I've been in the business too long that I don't remember my character's name.
Oh, my goodness. But you remember everybody else,
though. I remember everybody else. Dolores, I must not have had much time as Dolores. That's hilarious.
Yes, that was some time ago.
Okay, good.
But I want to thank you so much for being on the program.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Oh, my listeners, we have quite a few questions for you. But first, I want to know, where did you grow up in Brooklyn?
I grew up in Flatbush, honey. Flatbush. I started actually in Crown Heights, Bedford and Maple. And then I moved to Lenox and Flatbush. Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, lovely. Do you come back often?
You know, I come back, but I don't get to Brooklyn really often because, you know, my family is gone, and I have a few friends that still live in Brooklyn, but generally I come and I stay in Manhattan. I just don't get a chance to get to Brooklyn.
Oh, well, we in Brooklyn don't like to hear that, though, Kim. We feel kind of left out. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but if all my family and friends are gone, you know, for me to come and just be nostalgic will make me sad.
Oh, okay, but we'll still admire you from afar.
Yes. That's for sure. Also, Brooklyn has changed. I liked the old Brooklyn. The new Brooklyn is a little too fancy for me. I liked Brooklyn when it was had a little bit of an edge to it, and it was the place that, you know, it was our secret that it was so fabulous. Now all these other people have found out that it's fabulous, and all the rents are all hiked up. It's expensive to live. I love when it was just a marvelous place to live, and so I like old Brooklyn. Give me old Brooklyn any day.
Yes, Brooklyn definitely has changed. Yeah. It really has. But that's okay. We love it anyway. We still
do.
Love it.
We do.
But you're always seem to be on the go. You're traveling all across the country, doing so many different projects. How hard is it for you, Kim, to maintain a healthy lifestyle with all that you do?
I got to tell you, it is tough. And I recently have re-devoted myself to health and fitness. And, you know, health is your wealth.
Yes.
I'm having really bad knee problems because I found out I've got some arthritis in my knees. And I'm really trying to get back to, I tell you what, when I'm at home, I can eat on a regular basis and eat the way I'd like to. On the road, it's a little bit tougher because you're in different time zones. Sometimes you land someplace and you can't find, you know, healthy green food. You know, it's just
yes.
sort of a fast food thing. So you have to figure out how to navigate that. I'm trying to get past processed foods, you know, and you're not going to juice when you're on the road. I juice when I'm at home. So it's about finding a way to fit it in. I am trying to do the thing where I at least stretch in my hotel room and do some little miniature exercises on the floor. So at least I've gotten something in. So it is tough on the road to answer your question, but it can be done.
Yes, most definitely. And you mentioned green juices. So you, whenever you can, you do drink green juice.
Oh yeah, I'm a green girl for sure.
Oh my goodness, you got it, because that's the alkaline you're putting in your body, correct?
Exactly.
Oh man, okay, we have something in common. This is what we talk about. This is great. Now, you mentioned something about stretching and everything. So do you have a daily workout routine that you do?
Right now, that's the problem. You know, if I did, it would be, you know, maybe 15 to 20 minutes of stretching or sort of yoga type exercises, and then walking. I love walking. And the great news about living in LA is that the weather is almost always gorgeous. So that would be my preferred method for now. And then as I get, the fitter I get, the more I do. You know, maybe I'll do a spin class, or maybe I'll do I also love Pilates, I should say Pilates, but none of this is happening right now. I should say, I can't even pretend that I'm getting this in. I'm getting little bits of it in, but not on a regular basis. We all know that consistency is key. So I'm moving towards what can I do minimally consistently. And then I think that, and then you can build from there. So my thing is that I always injure myself too, I should tell you, because I go whole Hawks, I'll do nothing for weeks, and then I will jump in and get, and, you know, do, you know, be in the gym and doing it real hard and doing it fast, and then I injure myself, and then I'm back further than I was than when I started. So my new thing is being consistent, doing something consistently, even if it's minimal. At least it's better than nothing. Yeah.
Exactly. No, that's excellent. A little something is better than nothing. And the most important, and we talk about the fact that nutrition is 80% of it, Kim.
Yeah.
80%. If you could do 80% of eating healthy and 20% of exercise, you will be fine, you know. But I know with your busy schedule, it's not easy. So, but do you cook for yourself when you're home?
Yes. And I'm not a big cook, but I do cook. Well, actually, I cook some. I can't lie that a lot of, because I am on the go, a lot of my stuff is taken. You know, I won't even say I order out. I will say I take in. So I'll go swing through and pick something up. I love Kale Salads. It's a really great vegetarian restaurant that I order from. Sometimes it's just a Wendy's salad with some chicken on top of it. I'm big on Chinese food because I can get a lot of vegetables that way. So, I do cook my own breakfast. I'm an egg white omelet girl. I'm an oatmeal girl. I've gotten myself off of gluten. I would say I'm gluten-free-ish. I don't cook with any gluten myself. And if I'm out and about, I will almost always choose the gluten-free choice if I can.
Okay. So it's about making the healthy choices, correct?
Right.
That's the key. Now, because you're so busy, how do you find time to relax?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't have enough time to relax. Now, if I have some time, I will choose a facial or a massage, and that's my 1 hour of, okay, I've got that in, and now back to work. I'm really not good on the relaxing, and that has to change.
That has to change, most definitely, because even relaxing is a part of your health,
of course.
You know. Yes. And what about water? Do you drink a lot of water?
I'm a big water girl, yes. In fact, I don't do sodas at all. I do no carbonated drinks at all. I stopped that a long time ago. And I've gotten away from the sugary drinks. I'm mostly water. Maybe I'll do a vitamin zero, which is made with xylitol, which I think is supposed to be healthier than sugar. Okay. Sometimes I do juices, but I'm mostly I'm drinking water as we speak, and I'm a tea girl. I drink a lot of hot tea.
Ah, oh, good for you. I mean, green tea is perfect for you, Kim.
I drink that too. I have a whole collection of teas that are phenomenal. Sometimes I don't want. Sometimes green tea has a little bit of caffeine in it, and I do mostly decaffeinated teas and green teas if I really need the boost.
Okay, good. That's very good. But then, and you mentioned also that you don't drink soda, per se, which is great because of the sugar content, right?
Right.
And, you know, too much sugar can affect your joints, especially if you have knee problems. So definitely cut down on the sugar. That's a good way to get on the road towards good health.
Right. Now, but I do get my sugar other ways. Here's how I get my sugar. I am a carbohydrate girl, so I do potato chips. I love crunchy, crunchy potatoes. So my problem is that my body is converting all these carbs into sugar. So I may not be drinking it, but I'm getting it other ways. I have to tell the truth.
Well, that's good. I mean, in the interest of full disclosure, I like that, Kim. But you know, but you're right. The carbs converts to sugar, and therein lies the problem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So once you cut back on those carbs, I mean, there are some carbs that are good, obviously. You know, the complex carbs, but those simple sugars are the ones that's going to do the most damage.
Yep.
Right? Okay, and also affects your energy level too, because, you know, sometimes you get a quick burst of energy and all of a sudden you're high and all of a sudden you're back down again.
Yep.
So, and you want to keep that, right, and you want to keep that energy level going. So now that we talked a little bit about your health and you seem like you're doing the best that you can within your schedule and you know that you're going to do better.
Yes.
And that's the most important thing, because it's all about quality of life, enjoying ourselves and being good to our bodies.
Yes.
And we're going to talk more about that. But now, what prompted you to get into comedy and acting?
It called me. It was just the thing that my soul said to do. You know, I was a girl that watched a lot of TV growing up, and I watched, you know, Carol Burnett and Lucille Ball and Bill Cosby and Richard Pryor and, you know, George Carlin, and these people kind of spoke to me. I sort of loved what they did. And when the time came, I was sort of doing modeling part-time and playing around and making people laugh. I made people laugh in high school, and that really sparked this divine spark in me that this is what I need to be doing. And the timing was perfect because comedy was exploding in the early 80s, and it seemed to be that if you had a sense of humor, there were 1,000 comedy clubs with a microphone and a brick wall behind you. You could just go and do your thing. And very quickly, I stepped up to the plate, started doing that, and things started taking off from there. It found me.
It found you. Oh, that's great. Now, you mentioned Richard Pryor, Bill Cosby, George Carlin, Lucille Ball. Would you say they were your role models growing up?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Did you meet any of them?
Okay. I never met Richard Pryor. I met George Carlin, but I was too nervous to walk up to him and say hello, because I was just,
you're kidding.
Yeah, I was just in awe, and I was like, oh my god. So before he passed away, I did see him. I saw him go, speak. I want to say it was the 92nd Y here, and I just was tuned, and I was actually backstage and everything. Somebody gave me a ticket. I just sort of smiled at him from across the room. And Bill Cosby, I've met him several times. I did warm up on the Cosby Show. And the funny story is that he called me over to talk to me, and I was in such awe that I left my body. So I was there, but I wasn't really there. And
unbelievable.
I had this funny routine that I do in my one-woman show and in my stand-up act about me sitting there, and Bill Cosby is talking to me, and I'm not even listening because I can't believe I'm sitting next to Bill Cosby. And years later, I had a chance to redeem myself when I was performing at the Apollo, and he saw me perform. And he told Sinbad, tell Kim Coles to call me. I want to talk to her about her act. And he remembered everything I did, and he gave me great notes and said, this is what you should be doing. And it was just awesome. So I feel like I redeemed myself by finally paying attention to what, you know, a master at comedy was saying. So, yeah, those are my stories. And I never got to meet the one. But I will tell you, I did also meet Carol Burnett. And another one where I I was in such awe that I made a fool out of myself. I was just a blubbering idiot. I had
Really?
Like, yeah, I was auditioning for a show that she was going to be doing, and I just lost it because I'm meeting who, in my mind, was royalty, you know? So,
Yes.
Like, I geek out. Look, I met Boy George yesterday, and I geeked out.
Really?
Yes.
Boy George?
Boy George, who, by the way, could not have been more lovely, more sweet, more funny. You know, there's just certain people who you meet, and they just touch you because they are part of your childhood or part of your growing up or part of a memory
yes.
for you. There's certain people I've met that go, oh, nice to meet you. I won't mention your name, so I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Oh, nice to meet you. I met Oprah. I nearly lost my mind because she meets that to me. I actually met Oprah and lost my just like, yay! I did that with Whoopi Goldberg. I stopped breathing when I met Whoopi Goldberg.
Really?
Stories I've never told. Oh my god! I literally stopped breathing. Like I had to like.
You're
catch
kidding.
My breath.
You're kidding.
You know?
My
years
goodness.
Ago, you know, years ago, and she was so gracious to me. And I got to tell you, I don't tell people many people this, but I learned from Whoopi.
Yes.
But from the way that Whoopi handled me, how to handle a fan who might be having an out-of-body experience. I've had those
really?
Cases where people meet you and sometimes they just can't, you know, they can't believe they're meeting you. And so I learned from her what to do by how she handled me. She was very gracious. She tried to sort of calm me down. She saw that I wasn't breathing. And none of this was said. It was all very, hello, nice to meet you. Like, she just got very present with me, and she was very gracious. She didn't go, look, crazy girl, are you going to say hi or what? Like, she just really handled me beautifully, and she gave me permission to have my experience. And then she very politely walked away in case I really was crazy. It was really funny. I never even had a chance to tell her that. Like, she really affected me in the way she, and I didn't know at the time that I was going to go on to have a lovely career and have that privilege of people walking up to you going, oh my God, I love your work. You know what I mean? I didn't know that was going to happen. I was just sort of a starving comic at the time. So it's, yeah. You didn't ask me, but I told you the story. Get the exclusive.
Yeah. That is so impressive. So amazing that would happen to you, Kim.
Of course, I'm human, you know. And, you know, I met Joan Rivers, who couldn't have been lovely, and it took me a minute to get out. I've met legends. And
yes.
It makes
wow.
me really, really happy to be in the presence of people who have gone on before, especially comics and especially women who've gone on to, you know, pave the way for people like me to be able to do my thing. So it's kind of awesome.
Oh, that is beautiful. That's such a beautiful story, Kim. You know, you have an impressive resume yourself with In Living Color, Frasier, 6 Feet Under, One-on-One, and the lovable and unforgettable Sinclair James on Living Single. Now, if you had to choose which role, what would you say was your most favorite role and why?
I think that Living Single, I think that Sinclair, it has the most lasting impression. I call Living Single the sparkling jewel of my career. It really was a rare, beautiful experience. And I would say that would be my most favorite. And equal to that would be any time I get a chance to just be me. You know, I'm doing stand-up again. I have a one-woman show. I'm
okay.
on the road speaking. So my favorite role is just playing myself. And second to that, I say would be Sinclair, because she's a part of who I am.
Really? I mean, that role, I would say, touched me the most. I mean, most came across the most lovable, friendly, you know. And it's interesting to hear that you said that would be mostly your favorite. And basically, she represents how you really are.
Yes.
That's good to know. I'm sure a lot of your fans are happy to hear that as well.
Yes.
Now, since, and we mentioned Sinclair, but now, has it been hard for you to pull away from that character?
No, because I've done other things. No, I mean, there's still people who walk up to me and go, hi, Sinclair. So there are some
really?
People for whom there's nothing else I will do that will pay, that will match that. And that's okay. That's okay for them. It was not hard for me. It was hard to walk away from the experience and all the free food and all that money. You know, the money was awesome, and the experience of being on a set and, you know, having family like that. You know, when you're on a show like that for five seasons, you become family with your crew, and not to mention the cast, but your crew and your writers. You
just, yes.
You have inside jokes. You know, you have little moments. People get married. People have babies. People's families.
Yes.
You know, thrive and all. And so I miss that, but life goes on, and I have that experience, and I wouldn't change it for the world. And that experience has informed a lot more that I've done, and I learned so many things that I've taken with me as I go on. So.
Now, what about the cast, though, from In Living Single? Do you stay in touch with them?
I do. I'm particularly close to Erica Alexander and T.C. Carson. I would count them as, like, you know, my inner circle of friends. And I keep in touch with John. In fact, John and I were just sending direct messages on Twitter last night, so I keep in close contact with him. Kim, I don't get to talk to that often, but when I do, there's nothing but love. And Latifah, I don't get to talk to that often, but when I do, there's nothing but love. So these are people that, you know, we formed family, we formed friendships, and
yes.
I love them all dearly, and there's nothing but love between us. Nothing but love.
Wow. Well, I'm actually one of your Twitter followers, so I have seen some of those comments on my Twitter feed. So.
Oh, yay!
most definitely. I'm like, hey, Kim Cole, so great. Now, let's go back in the past for a little bit. Now, you had the distinction of being the first female primetime game show host, as well as African-American in history, actually, on BET's Pay It Off.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
It felt awesome. I wish the show had lasted longer, you know? I really do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And you also served as co-host on BET's highly successful talk show, My Black is Beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
That was awesome, too.
See?
That was an awesome thing.
You are amazing with all the work that you've been doing. I mean, really, you know? Go ahead.
You're very sweet. Thank you. You know, it's been an awesome experience. And, I hope to go on and do more.
Now, you also were wearing some type of micro braids, but you kind of got away from that and started going natural, right?
Yes. Well, I considered myself a natural even when I was wearing braids because I had no chemicals in my hair. But there's another level of natural, particularly when the texture of hair that I was wearing was not the texture of hair that grows out of my scalp. And so
yes.
There's a big conversation around, in my case, I was hiding my hair by wearing these extensions, and it was time to cut them all off and just go, this is what my hair does, this is how it grows, this is who I am. And I'm really proud of that journey that I've taken. And it's a huge conversation around Black women, in particular, wearing their hair in the texture that it grows and or loving it the way it grows. And you can decide to change it if you want to. You have to love it as it is before you can, so that you can accept yourself and accept yourself with as beautiful, even though the more Eurocentric beauty standard exists.
Yes. Yes, yes. Now, one of my upcoming guests, her name is Pamela Samuels Young. She's a mystery writer, and she's also the author of Kinky Coralie, A Natural Hair Resource Guide. So she's going to be talking about that as well.
Right, great.
Going natural. Now, you launched a program called Open the Gifts, GIFTS. Tell us about that program and how and why you started it.
Well, yeah. So I went through a difficult time after Living Single was gone and after I wasn't working as much, the contrast, and that's why you asked me, you know, has it been tough to move on? It was in the beginning, but I went through the sort of, you know, it's sort of a death in many ways, you know, where you're
yes.
not doing that thing that you thought you'd be doing. I wasn't working the way I thought I was going to be working. I went through a really tough depression, and the short version of the story is I had to come to terms with my value even if I wasn't on a TV show. Especially if you have had success in Hollywood, everyone, your worth is based upon your last gig. And if your last gig was a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it's really tough to hold on to yourself when everyone is expecting you to be something else. And so out of that process came me working on going, asking myself the questions, what are my gifts? What can I do whether or not I'm on a TV show? And getting very yes. clear that my gift is love and laughter, just like I discovered it yes. when I was in high school and then went on to do stand-up and all that, was like, I don't have to be on a TV show to share love and laughter with the world. And so I got really present to that, and I thought, well, wait a minute, maybe there's some other people who are going through some stuff too. What if I ask other people or talk to people about the same thing I'm going through, being what is your gift? And I yes. came up with an acronym for gift: gratitude, intention, forgiveness, triumph, and self-love. And it's explore the principles of gratitude, intentions, forgiveness, triumph, and self-love, you will unlock so many wonderful, you'll unlock the gifts that you already have inside of yourself, and you'll be able to share your gifts with the world. And I always tell people to go to opengifts.com, and you get some information on the program. You get a chance to get my gratitude journal. And I do believe that gratitude is the first piece to unlocking all the good that's in your life. It's being grateful for what's already present.
Yes.
And then you move forward to and move deeper into figuring out what your gifts are. And the bottom line is that you should only be doing the thing that lights your soul up. You shouldn't be doing what your parents told you to do. You shouldn't be doing what society tells you to do. You should be doing what makes you happy. And
yes.
you will... You know, you've heard this phrase before: if you do what makes you happy, you'll never work a day in your life. It won't feel like work. It'll feel like, you know, your gift. You know, you're doing what you do. I bet that fitness and health is your passion. And so you
yes.
do it with passion, and you succeed at it because it's what you're meant to do. You should not
yes.
be doing anything else. This is what you should be doing, and you will succeed at doing it because it is your gift.
Sound like you're preaching to me, Kim.
Yes, hallelujah.
Now you said that we can find out more about the gifts at openthegifts.com.
Yes, openthegifts.com. There I have a page where I give you a blurb about what Open the Gifts is about. I also go on the road and I speak about opening your gifts. And it is just all about purpose and passion and doing that thing you came here to do. And
yes.
I said, I have a gratitude journal, which sort of helps people on the journey towards the first piece, which is gratitude. Because there I was, not working, depressed, you know, running out of money because I was shopping too much. And when I got real present to what I was already grateful for, it was amazing how so many things began to come in. And you can call that God, you can call that universe, you can call that source.
Yes.
Source gets happy when you get connected to what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, that is so beautiful. And you said you're also a speaker. So you go around the country speaking on this issue.
I do. And it makes me happy. And I infuse everything with love and laughter. That's my core. But yeah, I enjoy doing that very much.
You know, so many people need to hear this. This is so important, especially at this time of high stress. And everybody's working, doing whatever they got to do to survive. We need to hear about this, Kim.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You're really a beautiful young lady, and I'm so glad that you're on this show.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Most definitely. But before we go, we know that you're an actress, a comedian, television personality, author, philanthropist. Is there anything else that you haven't done that you would like to do?
Huh. That's a good question. I think I'd like to learn music.
Really?
I played the piano a little bit as a kid, and I quit. It would be nice to take up the piano again. That would be nice.
That's one of your goals.
That's one of my goals, to learn how to play the piano.
Great. Now, is there any actor or entertainer that you haven't worked with yet that you would love to work with?
Well, I probably drool too much, but who wouldn't want to work with Idris Elba?
He's the man.
And I've met him too. I would probably drool. So, no, I don't even want to put that out there. Just whatever the universe has for me, I'm sure will be brought to me. Yeah, I can't think of who I want. Everyone. I want to work with everyone that would challenge me and make me do a good job.
Okay, that's good. That's a good answer. Mm-hmm. Now, we understand that our fans, we're going to see you, we're going to have an opportunity to see your wit and humor very soon in a new comedy special on Bounce TV. Tell us about it.
Yes. So after 29 years in the business, I've been granted my own stand-up special that will air on Bounce on November 12th. It will premiere on Bounce on November 12th. I worked really hard to put it together. I was so grateful that the Bounce folks had enough faith in me that said, it's time for you to do your hour-long special. And so I'm promoting it now. I'm in New York working. I'm working tonight at a comedy club. I'm back in on the comedy, you know, stages, and really excited about this special. There's nothing else I can say about it. I'm super excited. I want people to watch.
On Bounce, right. And I want to make sure when the episode goes up, we're going to actually mention that in the in our e-blast that we're sending out. And it'll also be on my website, so my listeners will know to check you out on Bounce on November 12th.
Yes.
Now, is this an ongoing project or just once at one time?
It will air again and again and again, but I've already shot it. And that's a trick question. So it will air more than once, but it was a one-time thing. I don't know if maybe they'll call me to do another one. I don't know. And let me say this, putting together an hour of material takes a long time. So I'm hoping that they don't ask me to do one for a while. It's a lot. Because in order to put together an hour, you need at least 2 hours of material. So it'll take a while.
Wow. I would imagine it's just like preparing for a speech, correct?
Yes. No.
No. Really? Okay.
Well, because a speech doesn't require, you know, with stand-up, you are required to make people laugh.
Yes.
So a speech, you can tailor it to affect an audience a particular way, but stand-up, in order to be effective, must affects people a certain way. Do you get what I'm saying? So there's a certain number of laughs that you need to get in order for this to be special. So a speech can be, to me, a speech can be created in a vacuum. I can write a beautiful speech and test it out on an audience and time it so that it has a up and a down and a sideways move. But stand-up requires each joke has an up and a down and a sideways move. Do you know what I'm saying? So it's a bit more work. It's a bit more work.
Yes, I mean, you're a professional at it, so I get it. I get it. Yeah. That's a lot of work. Oh, boy. Yeah. So, but what's next for Kim Coles, though? After the comedy special, what's next for you?
Well, what's next and what's ongoing is I have a one-woman show called Oh, But Wait, There's More. I'm on tour with this special right now, and I'm producing it myself. I'm often on tour, I should say. And that show makes me really happy. I'm also behind the scenes creating some content for television, and I'm excited about that. To go behind the scenes and create is a wonderful, powerful place to be, so I'm hoping that that works out well. And
yes.
I don't know, whatever else the universe will open up for me, I'm open to do.
Well, that's really excellent because you allow yourself to receive whatever it is coming in.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Sometimes we kind of like close ourselves to anything that happens by not accepting things as they are, at least accepting what's coming your way. And you're basically open to the universe to give you what it is it has to give.
Exactly. And so that's why I say I can't even say what to expect. I just know I'm expecting good things to happen. I'm doing my part to make that happen. And, you know, waiting for the next big thing, waiting.
Okay, and in the midst of all this too, we're going to be focusing on our health, keeping ourselves nice and healthy so we can, when the opportunities arise, we're able to accept it and to carry out whatever the task might be at hand.
Exactly.
Kim, on behalf of my organization, Body Scope of New York, I want to thank you for coming on our 6 Weeks of Fitness podcast. You are amazing, and we look forward to seeing you on Bounce TV and hearing a lot more from you.
Okay. I appreciate you, and thank you very much for inviting me on.
And to my listeners, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of 6 Weeks of Fitness. Take care. Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.